Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost by a score of 111-108 against the Chicago Bulls. DeMar DeRozan, in his return back to Scotiabank, the first time in a long time, and he made a number of tough baskets, three tough jumpers in a row against some of Toronto's best defenders to clinch this win for the Chicago Bulls. Even though DeMar was, you know, missing shots throughout the course of the game, 7-19, but definitely made them when it counted. And that kept the Bulls ahead just enough because the Raptors were pushing really hard, even though they were down 20 points after a really slow start to the third quarter. Raptors refused to say die. They kept coming. Fred VanVleet in particular really wanted this game. He played 43 out of a possible 48 minutes in this game. And there were up and downs. You can look at the 8 turnovers, which was a career high, but you can also look at the 17 assists, which were also a career high. But Fred in the fourth quarter, playing out of his mind, kept going to the basket. It was, dare I say, Kyle Lowry-esque in how stubborn he was in trying to win the game. And I think that was one of the things that you love the most about Kyle, is how stubborn he was, even down big, even in a game where they didn't look like they had it, refusing to sort of surrender. And seeing Fred call his own number and stay in the game and sort of keep the Raptors in the hunt. The Raptors almost forced overtime there, despite the fact that they were down big because of the fourth quarter they had, holding Chicago to 19 points. Chicago has been a really good offense, and we saw it in the second quarter in there, and particularly 37 points. But in the fourth quarter there, the Raptors really turned up the intensity defensively. Of course, it always helps when the Raptors are able to score and then set their defense so they're not guarding in transition. And, you know, late in the game, the Raptors down 5 points. Raptors force a turnover off an inbound. Scottie Barnes dunks it in. There is, you know, a chance for the Raptors to come back there. Then there's a great hustle play by Goran Dragic to break up what should have been a game-winning dunk from Nikola Vucevic. Instead, he sends him to the foul line. Nick Vucevic goes to the line, misses the first one, makes the second one. It's a three-point game, 7 seconds left. Raptors advance the ball. They get a mismatch between Fred and Vucevic. And Fred, to his credit, was on the side of the court, didn't have that much space to go, needed to hit a three because the Raptors were down three. But he still created just enough space and just enough separation to get a clean look off. But his shot went long, and that was the game for the Raptors. It was sad because I think the Raptors really wanted this game. I think, first off, they didn't want to start 0-3 on their home floor. So much excitement coming back to Toronto away from Tampa, the nightmare that was Tampa. They continued to, they just wanted to sort of show a better effort for the fans. And I think the home opener, they dropped the ball a little bit because of just how poorly they shot the ball and how poorly they played offensively. The Mavs game was close. They held the lead, but then they couldn't sustain their intensity and they lost the game there. And then today, it was just a poor, poor effort from the Raptors bench, which continues to hurt them game after game. And then the Raptors had to make a comeback there. But I thought the Raptors really wanted this one. I mean, Fred, 43 minutes. You look at Gary Trent, 36 minutes. That's above what he will be at this season's end. Scottie Barnes in his fourth NBA game playing 39 minutes. OG Anunoby, 38 minutes. Like, Nick shortened his rotation. He kept it to a tighter 8-man rotation here tonight. He rode his main guy, which is Fred. And it didn't fully work out for the Raptors, but I think that there are some promising things to take away from this game. So maybe I'll start with the positives and go more towards the negatives. I think in terms of positives, I think Fred, first off, the playmaking is nice because the 17 assists tonight was a product of him. I think Fred might have made 30 drives tonight. He was just tireless, especially in the fourth quarter, just insisting his way. There's one play where he slipped, and he was like lying on the ground right at the edge of the paint on the sideline there and still was able to pop up for a layup. I mean, he was just so determined. I think there were times where he got into trouble because he was getting guarded by two pretty tough on-ball defenders in Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso, two guys who are long, big, active. And, you know, sometimes they had Fred trapped in difficult spots and Fred would have to throw some passes, and that explains the 8 turnovers. But thought Fred did a great job of just willing life into this offense because the Raptors had such a hard time touching the paint and then getting it out. And, you know, Fred did a good job with that. And I think this is something we know is possible from Fred. I mean, first off, the 17 assists is a career high, but we have seen him have high assist games before. I think his previous high was 14. This is something that he is capable of, and it's just really a matter of sort of that mental will of going to go into the paint over and over and over and over again. And of course, you would like to cut down on the turnovers. I don't think 8 is something that Fred wants to do. I don't think Fred has even had like 5 turnovers in a game before. Today clearly was a case where he was determined. And some of those things will cut itself out, but I thought Fred was a promising area of this game, especially in the fourth quarter. It was inspiring watching his competitiveness rub off on some of the other guys. When you're talking about like leadership from your main guys, like I thought Fred provided that absolutely tonight. I also thought that the Raptors got pretty good mileage out of OG Anunoby. I think they're still trying to figure out what's the best way to get him to operate. I think as a number one option, quote unquote, it's a little bit too much to ask him right now, mostly because he seems to have really struggled driving downhill, facing the paint. He's coming off that pick and roll sometimes. He'll either get into a mismatch and play one-on-one, and that hasn't really gone too far. And then when he drives into the paint, he's struggled to read the help. So he's been, you know, met at the rim for blocks, or, you know, he's been stripped on the way there, or he's trying to make a move and he's lost his balance. And I think that these are things that will limit OG in terms of what he wants to do as the number one guy. But I think what was interesting was the way the Raptors used him and mitigated some of these things, because as I said in other episodes, I think OG could really do a job for you if you put him into the post, because what that does is it takes away some of his weaknesses while maximizing some of his strengths. And his weaknesses right now are dribbling, in terms of just like being able to sort of, not even necessarily his handle is bad, but just being able to like get to every single place that he wants to. Maybe it's more his movement rather than his dribbling specifically. But, you know, he'll lose his balance. I think sometimes he's not really anticipating where the help is coming from either. That's been a struggle for him. So when the defense converges on him, he struggles, and he's been more turnover prone recently. Again, OG is not a guy who is turnover prone at all. So I think him going downhill, having to beat his man, then beating the help at the rim has been really difficult. So I think that the way you kind of mitigate that is you put him into the post. You first off, when you're in the post, especially if you're going to back down and then turn around, like you're able to sort of see the help coming towards you a little bit better. You can kind of anticipate it a little bit better. And also I think that it limits the amount of dribbling that OG needs to do, because all of a sudden now he needs to take like 2-3 hard dribbles and then he's at the basket, whether he's spinning, whether he's fading, mostly spinning towards the rim. And then I think the other thing is it accentuates his strength, because I think OG can play at the rim, but the thing is you want him to get to the rim with his balance. And I think the best way to do that is to sort of A, put him in the post where he's already naturally closer to the rim, but B, you put him at the basket there and he's just strong. Like, he gets the spot, he moves people. Like, I thought Patrick Williams would be an interesting guard against OG tonight, because Pat Williams is also 6'9", you know, big forward, you know, is solidly built. You would figure he would, at least in terms of the body type, match OG a little bit, but OG was able to move Patrick Williams wherever he wanted to be honest. And the interesting thing is I know OG did a better job of reading the game, which is like most of the battle as the number one guy, but I know OG did a better job of reading the game because he had 5 assists tonight, which I think is a season high for him. Might even be a career high for OG, because the way he was distributing out of the post was beautiful. The Bulls eventually started sending double teams towards him. Actually, pretty much early in the game, they started sending double teams towards him when he was in the post, because he was taking on, you know, DeMar DeRozan, who he's bigger than, or, you know, Pat Williams or whoever. Maybe, you know, Troy Brown Jr. off the bench, and they would send help. And OG did a number of nice passes in terms of just anticipating where the help was coming from and being the defense, because OG is a very willing passer. First one, he fed Scotty Barnes on a cut. Scotty did a good job of just flashing, making himself open. Quick pass on the inside, quick flip shot from Barnes in the paint to make to get an easy 2 there. Then OG drew 2 defenders, kicked out for 3, which is sort of the traditional pass when you're playing out of the post. Then he had a nice play where he drew the two defenders, drove into the two defenders on purpose so that he can then wrap around the defender and feed it off to Ken Burch, who was in a dunker spot waiting. That was great to see. Then he had a post-up where he drew two defenders. I think this time Nikola Vucevic came over to try to wall him off, and OG dumped it back out to Precious for three. And then another assist. His fifth assist was also out of the post, where he was in there, saw the defender, and he kicked it out for Gary for three. I think, first off, it says so much more about OG's ability to read the game. It was clearly a lot better for him, a lot more comfortable for him doing this rather than like facing the whole entire defense playing off a pick and roll. But also it just showed that he can be a very efficient player when you give him some more usage if you put him in the right spots. And I think that's a whole part of sort of what OG does. I mean, I think he can give you the threes, and tonight he was 4 of 8 from three, including a very key three late in the game, trailer three. Big moment, big shot to make it a one possession game. And he took 8 of his 17 attempts from three. That's fine with me. I think he can get 8 threes a game up. He's a good shooter. He's a really good shooter. He should be able to get those up. But I think the other area is sort of how do you get him the effectiveness at the basket. And today, him playing on the post seemed like a really good answer. Plus, he played some pretty good defense. So I was pretty happy with OG today. I thought, on the whole, Gary Trent played a decent game. This is sort of very close to what you would want to see from him, is that aggressiveness with the scoring mindset. In the first period, it seemed like he was really focused on creating the space for him to shoot. And I think the thing that he did really well, and something that he does well with the starters, is that he's able to play on the catch instead of playing with the ball in his hands and then trying to initiate. Because when you're playing on the catch, when the ball rotates to you, the defender is then moving towards you as Gary starts to make his move. And so then he's able to use his fakes, get guys up into the air, then go into a sidestep, which is his preferred shot, really. Honestly, I think he's almost better off a sidestep than he is just straight up with his feet set shooting the ball. But he's very adept at that, making that move. And then just making a number of tough jumpers. I think, obviously, on a night where he makes his jumpers, his numbers are going to look better. But I thought his on-ball defense was all right, too. He made a number of tough jumpers. I thought that, it's not necessarily even about the difficulty of them so much as that if he can set guys up, moving towards them, fake, move the other way. Like, I think that is generally where Gary's going to really succeed. He was a nice piece of this game. I thought Ken Burch did well as well. I think, first off, it was not easy guarding Nick Vucevic tonight. He really hurt the Raptors out of pick and pop action. The Bulls seem like they can mostly get good shots when playing through Vucevic, whether he's, screening the ball and then popping, or then, he's dribble handoffs and stuff like that. They did a pretty good job of playing through him. I mean, other guys can make shots. Like Zach LaVine's a good one-on-one player. Lonzo Ball is a good catch-and-shoot player. DeMarc, obviously, a good one-on-one player. But it's not like as a team offense, sort of over the course of the game, playing through Vucevic and the pick-and-pop worked pretty well. But I thought Ken Burch did a decent job of going back at his former Magic teammate in terms of, his physicality in the post when Vucevic did try to post and get around the rim. Thought both Precious and Kem did a decent job of sort of contesting, being physical at the rim, making it tough. Vucevic, the one thing he does have is size, but the thing he doesn't have is any lift. So even when he gets to his spot, turns around, he's still going to sometimes end up putting it short because he doesn't have that lift, off a move in the post. And I thought the two bigs did a decent job of contesting. And I think where Kem did a lot better than Precious is in the fact that he was able to play the pick and roll better. And it's interesting because you would think, well, Precious has the three-point shot, at least more than Kem. I mean, Precious hit the three tonight off the post feed from OG I described earlier. And you can say, well, Precious is able to sky for lobs and whatever. And those things are nice and it's sort of flashy. But I think Kem is just more solid in terms of what you need in terms of as a pick-and-roll player. So the Raptors have a lot of the Raptors guards struggle with finishing at the basket, right? Even if you consider OG a guard, for example, he struggles with driving downhill and then finishing at the basket. But what they do well is at least they get downhill, they touch the paint, and at that point they have forced a defender to come over. And at that point it's sort of like, can you then hit the man in the dunker spot which is usually going to be in your center. And Kem does a really good job of reading where the defense is going to react, where the defense is going to be, and then sort of keeping himself open. He usually keeps a nice little gap for himself. And then he has pretty good touch on this little push floater thing that he does. Both hands, he's able to sort of convert with regularity on those, which is why he's very efficient in the pick and roll as compared to someone like Precious Achiuwa, who, you know, he may or may not be open for the pass on the dump off pass. He might be out of position. And sometimes even if you throw it to him and he's open, he's not necessarily going to have the efficiency of movement, in the sense that how are you going to take the least amount of moves to get to the best available shot? And Kem does a really good job of working before he even receives the ball. Then his feet set, goes up into a shot, short little 5-foot floaters. All that is good for him, right? I think all five of his shots were pretty much some iteration of that basket. But for Precious, I think he is less sure of what move to make. He is trying more to sort of create some contact with the body, then go up into it. And I think he just takes more off-balance shots. And so 4 of 12 from Precious today as compared to 5 of 7 from Kem. I think Kem actually makes more sense with the starters, partially for that reason, is that you do need that sort of reliable man in the pick and roll. Plus, I guess Kem offers the kick-out options as well, because he does a decent job of spraying passes out on the short roll. We saw more of that last season than this year. But then again, I also think that sometimes those passes are a little bit inaccurate, and he's not necessarily the greatest at that option, but it is another option, another dimension that you get. In any case, so I thought the both front court players played decently, even Pressures. I mean, 11 and 11 with 2 assists. I'm not going to complain about that. I think he was active. I think his defense was pretty solid. Again, he had a difficult matchup with Vucevic, clearly a bigger player than him, but sort of stood eye to eye with him for the most part. And I just thought Kem kind of stood out more in terms of his positioning, the pick and roll. It's very important because the Raptors don't have guards that go downhill and then finish themselves. So they need to be able to have that dump off option if they want to be effective at the rim, if they want to look for shots at the rim, which, why would you not? It's the most effective shot in the game. So I thought those were some positives from this one. To me, some of the negatives were a couple of things. One, I thought Scottie Barnes should have called his own number more. He played 39 minutes, only took 8 shots. And it's not like a case of, oh, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, Nick didn't give him enough shots or whatever, or, you know, his teammates didn't give him the ball. No, he had the ball. There's a lot of times where he has the ball and he doesn't attack. He's not thinking attack. He's thinking more, I'm going to drive and I'm going to kick out. And the Bulls did a really good job of sort of inviting that drive, almost sort of encouraging people to get downhill, but then trapping and collapsing very hard at the rim while also then keeping the obvious kick out, especially on the the player side of the floor where sort of the shorter pass. They did a really good job of sort of taking that away, forcing a long pass, and then having a guy who was there to pick him off. I felt like Toronto had 19 turnovers. Like, at least 10 of those were off drives where the Raptors got in too deep in the paint, had to kick out, and it was a wild turnover. And Scottie had a number of those. But I just think Scottie needs to drive more and attack more. Think attack, think score. That's something that he can do a better job of, because he can score. Like, legitimately, he can score. Like, I mean, 8 shots for him today, it's not like he doesn't have the ball. It's just that he'll try to set up other guys more still. And I think that part of it is, you know, that's his natural temperament. Like, he'll get the ball in the post. And that's something he did a really good job of in the preseason, was he gets the ball in the post, guys cut, he feeds them. Guys weren't cutting as much for him today. And also, he was forcing passes that weren't there. Those were at least 2 of his 6 turnovers were that. But mostly, drive to score, Scottie. Please. Like, you are, in terms of all 5 guys in the starting 5 who can drive and from the perimeter and get a decent shot off in the paint and finish, Scottie is probably better than all the other guys here, even though he is a rookie. I mean, we know Fred struggles to score in the paint because of his size. We know OG struggles to get from the perimeter to the rim on balance because of the fact that he just doesn't have great balance, and also his handle is a little limited. We know Precious is wild, just generally wild. I don't know what to expect from him. And we know Gary primarily shoots jumpers. That leaves Scottie as the guy who can drive to the basket and finish. And I wanted to see more of that today. And it was a few instances where I was like, drive, attack, attack, attack. And he just didn't do that. So I think that's a learning experience for him. Also, the learning experience, by the way, was DeMar DeRozan pump faking. Like, don't jump with the guy. DeMar getting 10 free throw attempts is how he turned a 7 of 19 game into a game where he was a positive and a 26-point score. don't put him at the line. When he was generally shooting jumpers, he was okay. Obviously, late in the game, he hits a number of really tough ones, but he also missed a number of, you know, a slew of mid-range jumpers that kind of went nowhere. He got both Scotty to bite on the fake, and he also got Svi to bite on the fake. I think you should, you know, in a similar sense of you should, he offered $100 to guard DeMar. I think I would want to fine my players $100 for biting on a DeMar pump fake. What else? I think in terms of the negatives, Chris Boucher did not redeem himself in the slightest. In Nick Nurse's mind, what can I say? So Nick didn't play Chris until 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Typically, Chris will come in like first quarter, 6 minute mark, 8 minute mark at latest, but he'll come in and he's part of the regular rotation normally. Clearly got benched on the night, only 8 minutes today, even less, 5 minutes. He comes in midway through the second quarter, and I was very curious, what's Chris going to do today? Is he going to be able to contribute, and is he going to play within the team defense? Is he going to make plays for others? Is he going to just be more solid and reliable? And I think that it was great to start because he had a wide open three. He knocked it down. I was like, great, this is fantastic. But then immediately, what did he do afterwards? He was late on a rotation out to the three-point line. Lonzo Ball was able to be knocked down one of his five threes because Chris rotated out too late. And even with Chris being so long, so quick, being late is just being late, period. And then another play down, Chris is trying to catch the entry pass in the post. He's supposed to have his man sealed, but he doesn't have his man sealed. And I think Lonzo was guarding him at that time, jumped the pass, which is something Lonzo does well. And he's very instinctive, very smart player, and he's quick and he's pretty long. But still, there's no excuse for that. As a big, you need to be able to seal your man. I mean, not even just as a big, as anybody, really. Like, you should seal your man before you catch the pass. And something that as simple as that, if you screw that up when you're trying to just, and it's not even like that's the play, like they're not trying to feed it him inside of him and then he dunks the ball or something like that. Like, that's not the point of the pass, is not the score. The point of the pass is to get off the ball so guys can sort of cut and operate around Chris. And so it wasn't even a scoring level pass. It was just sort of a, you know, general, very basic pass into the post. And but the thing is, you need to be able to secure your man on your back so that you can catch that pass without it being turned over. Because if it is, like, the, you know, like the Bulls were able to steal it, then it's a 2-on-1 fast break. So that was not great. I thought Chris, you know, was also in a tough situation, in all fairness to him, because Nick decided to go with a no guard lineup with Scotty as the point guard. You know, Chris was out there. I don't know. Precious was out there. It was a weird lineup. There were no guards. I think the only guard was Fee or Gary, maybe both. And yeah, it didn't go anywhere. I mean, I think the Raptors have some idea there, but to be honest, everybody was just sort of running, you know, these like dribble handoff weaves on the top of the floor, just sort of running, sort of cycling back and forth. And there were very few advantages created from there. There's very little organization on the offense. So I don't feel completely like criticizing Chris for being a minus 10 in 5 minutes in a game where the Raptors lost by 3 points. Having said that, though, I don't think Chris did anything here tonight that stands out in Nick's mind, and that I don't think that this is going to save him from getting more minutes in the next game. Even though the Raptors are in a tough spot, I just don't think Chris is contributing very much right now in a positive way. I think another negative was, for me, was Goran Dragic, who did have a couple of nice moments later on in the game. But at this, just in the 14 minutes, 0 for 3 from 3, just kept missing wide open layups at the basket. He has just been disappointing. I don't think he's really created much for his teammates. I don't think that when he's been asked to score, he's been able to do it very well. And I know that the track record here suggests that Goran will be able to turn it around. I don't think he's like that washed. I know he does wear like a huge sleeve on his leg before games and stuff like that, but that's not uncommon of veterans. You know, I figured that obviously he's probably taken a few bumps and bruises in the course of playing in the NBA for 13 or 14 years or whatever. But I know he's better than this, but so far he's just been so bad. I mean, first off, he's a defensive liability. And not so much that he doesn't try or he's in the right spots, but guys just blow by him. In fact, actually, the combination of Goran and Svi playing at the same time, it's just really, really devastating for the Raptors' defense, which generally does a pretty good job, generally has a lot of length. But when you put those guys on the floor, guys are just going to be able to feast against them. Svi today was especially bad defensively. My God, I know he was 5 points on 2-of-2 shooting with a three, but it's just the jumping, his leaving his feet to pass. He just keeps doing that, and it's really an issue. He's mostly jumping because he doesn't create an advantage just with his handle or with his quickness or with his length. So he has to jump to make up the difference. But if the pass is not there, it's just too high of a risk play for me, at least for my own appetite. I don't know about Nick, but it's the defense. I mean, jumping at DeMar DeRozan, getting completely back up for a layup. I mean, it's the stuff that, as a coach, you're disgusted and you call timeout. That's the level of breakdown you're seeing from Speed right now. And then, of course, Goran is just not giving you the one thing he's supposed to give you, which is his offense. Because at least defensively, you know he's not going to give you that much. He's old and he's small. But at least offensively, he should give you something. And, nothing really tonight. 1-for-6. 6-for-6 from free throw line. You know, he got on transition a couple times, made a couple, whatever. It's fine. But he needs to be able to score better than this. The Raptors bench needs to be able to provide more than this. And it was very disappointing. Like, Kem Birch gave you 11 points off the bench in 19 minutes. That's great. But Chris, a guy who you'd expect double-digit points from, 3 points. Goran Dragic, 8 points in 14 minutes. That doesn't even look that bad unless you watch back on some of the layups he missed and you're just like, you were open for all of this. Like, Goran should have had like a 15-point game tonight, maybe even a 20-point game based on how open he was. Just kept breaking shots. And so, you know, this puts the Raptors into a bind because all of a sudden you have like two guards that you can trust right now is Fred and Gary. Gary, I'm like 80% trusting because I think there are still some times where, you know, Gary's perfectly capable of giving you a 3-of-14 game. And then even with Fred, sometimes he'll give you a 5-of-20 game. Although I trust the overall game from Fred that I, you know, from a night-to-night basis, I don't worry that much about Fred. But the guys in the reserves, the only two guards other than those guys in the rotation are Goran and Svi. And beyond that, in terms of not in the rotation, it's just Malachi Flynn. And Malachi is at the point now where he has gotten 3 DMPs in 4 games to start the year. The one game he did play was 3 minutes of garbage time when they were blowing out the Celtics. So he's just not playing, period. He's not in the plans, period. He's probably going to go down to the G League at this rate because of the fact that he's playing no minutes at all. And it's the point for Malachi where he's staying late after the game. I mean, you know, I don't even remember seeing this in like 2-3 years of covering the team in the last few years where I've been down at the arena. But I'm up there writing 10 things and I see Malachi Flynn coming back out with 3 assistant coaches to get shots up. And he got shots up for about half an hour after the game, just him by himself in an empty arena. It's a really weird feeling. It's a little depressing, quite honestly, watching it. And he was making shots. I mean, whatever. I mean, he's a good shooter. But, like, he can't even get on the floor in a game where Goran has been this bad. Svi has been pretty limited. And that's it. Like, those are the only 5 guards you have on the team, period. Like, nobody else is a guard. That is a concern, both with the roster construction, but also with the fact that I think as a coach, like, you have to give Malachi a little bit of something here. I understand you got to show Goran his respect as a veteran, whatever. Maybe on the whole, you expect Goran to be better than Malachi anyway, right? I mean, I do too. But if Goran's playing like this, if Speed's playing like this, you got to try something else. And poor Flynn, I mean, I feel for the kid. I really do. 22 years old, hasn't really done something wrong in his career, but all of a sudden can't even get on the floor except when he's with assistant coaches. So that's been tough. The guard play on this team has been really tough. And you know, it got to the point where Nick went to the no guard lineup, which I actually don't mind at all. But the only thing I would say is I prefer that look so much more with Delano and Scotty on the floor. First off, the length there is really good. To be able to put the 5 wings on. Delano really covers for quite a bit at the rim. He's very active. He's able to do stuff. And I just think that he's a smart player. Like today, for example, in the 5 minutes he came in, made a quick move where he was supposed to set up a play on the right side of the floor. The defense is sort of shading off him a little bit. And then he sees that small half step of an opening and he just squeezes his 6'9" frame through that gap, gets into the paint, draws some contact, gives himself 2 free throws, makes both of them. Smart play. Next play down, he doesn't get an assist for this, but he does the same thing. He's getting downhill, then he dumps it off to Kem Birch, who once again did a really good job of presenting himself for the catch, anticipating the drive. Banton hits him with the pass, and then Kem Birch goes to the line. He splits a pair of free throws. Like, there's something with Banton where he's able to do a much better job of passing. I don't think he's like a full-time point guard right now just because he doesn't shoot the ball that well. And I don't even think he operates the pick and roll necessarily all that well right now just based on his skill set. But he gets downhill, which is something no of the other Raptors guards really do in terms of they get downhill and then they're a threat to score at the rim, which is what Delano actually is. And then Delano also gives you this like tremendous length at, on defense that is able to give you some things. To be honest, my thought was that Delano would end up in the G League just to get more reps and whatever. But if he's going to be playing ahead of Malachi, it makes more sense for Malachi to go down to the G League. And then you give Delano some of these minutes here to try to run some of these all wing lineups. Because I do think that even though all wing sounds great, even though the idea of teaching every single player to play every position is great, let's be real. Some people have roles, and I think you need guards. I think guards bring organization to your offense. And I think when you go, even with Scottie as the point guard, I don't think there's that much organization. I think it's to me, Banton strikes me more as a natural guard, playmaking point guard than Scottie does, even though I think Scottie has that ability as well. So that was a negative. What else was a negative? I thought, just the way they played defense in the second quarter was a negative. I mean, look, the Raptors need to hang their head on defense. And I thought in the fourth quarter, they showed that intensity that they showed in the first quarter against Dallas, that they showed in the win over the Celtics. I mean, it's not like the Raptors don't have this another gear to get to on defense. They just didn't get to it until it was too late. Part of that might be, okay, if you shorten the rotation, guys will get tired. I know even this is early in the season, but this is the Raptors' fourth game in six nights, and you're shortening the rotation to eight guys, basically. Guys are going to get worn out, especially if you want them to play that hard defensively and play them that fast in transition. And I just think that the Raptors struggled defensively tonight. 12 turnovers forced, which is much less than what the Raptors need. Raptors only got 18 points on the fast break. Again, I think this team needs to score about 30 points on the fast break per game to be successful. And then that's the other thing I don't like, is just how many times this team screws up regular transition opportunities that should be scores for you. 2-on-1 fast break, they can't score. 3-on-1 fast break, they can't score. They're not getting great shots out of these things. They're missing at the rim. It's been one of the most frustrating parts of watching this team. I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think there's some things that are good. But, I mean, what is this right now? The Raptors' points per possession in transition is 0.99 points per play. That's horrendous. How could you get less than 1 point per play when you're in transition, when you have numbers? It's not like the Raptors are forcing up shots. The Raptors actually do lead the league at least through three games. It hasn't been updated from tonight's game. I anticipate this going down. But the Raptors are actually leading the league in transition frequency. It's 23% of their possessions. They're getting 27 possessions per game in transition. But to only score 0.99, I know it sounds like a small thing, but when you're talking about that many possessions, you're probably talking about the fact that the Raptors are leaving, I don't know, 5-6 points on the table per game easily, just off of transition opportunities not converted. And I know the Raptors practice this. I know every single team in the NBA practices transition. It's a very basic thing, or at least it should be. But that was the difference in the loss tonight against the Bulls, where you can say, well, they lost by one possession here, and they made a number of mistakes in transition. And these are things you look back on, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? How could you guys not figure this out? It's transition basketball. It's elementary stuff. 3-on-2 fast breaks you should score. 3-on-1 fast breaks you can score. 4-on-1 fast breaks I've seen this season where the Raptors multiple times 4-on-1 where they don't score. It's outrageous. They got to fix that up. I don't know what specifically is going on, but it should be very simple. Somebody fills the lane. Somebody runs the channels into the corners. You know, the ball handler is able to give it up early or they give it up late, depending on sort of how the defense wants to play you and how high they want to pick you up. These are very basic things that the Raptors are screwing up right now. And it's frustrating because you know offensively they're going to struggle at times. Today, I mean, to be honest, 48% shooting from the field, including 40% from three. This is the first time all season they've hit the 12-3 mark. They even shot 80% from the foul line. They got 14 offensive rebounds. All that is pretty decent. They got more possessions than the Bulls did, but they missed some transition opportunities. And for a team that's so starved for offense, you need to get all of those. And I think if anything else, that is the most easy fix for the Raptors. Get better in transition. This is a team that should be dominating in transition. This is a team that creates deflections, is up in people's faces. They should be able to get out and run. And then they waste all that energy by not scoring. It is, again, one of the most frustrating experiences from watching this team so far this season. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think there are still some positives. I think OG has settled in back-to-back games where he's been productive. I think the expectation to have him create on the pick and rolls is a little bit too much for him, and he's going to have to play almost similar to a Pascal role, where he's sort of setting up primarily in the post, then also hitting some threes on the outside, then occasionally slashing, playing great defense as well. To be honest, 22-5, 8-5 is exactly what Pascal averages, and that's what OG did today. But I think OG has, if OG stepped to a level where he was where Pascal was last year or the year before, I think everyone would be thrilled with that. You don't need to be carried away with what you need to see from OG. What you need to see is more improvement. In the last two games, he settled in into a nice role. I think Nick is finding more spots to use him. You know, I think there are some positives to take away from this. I think, to be honest, if I were Nick, I would consider not necessarily benching Precious, because I don't think you need to bench him, to be honest. Precious and Kem are going to split the 48 minutes at center, like today, 29 for Precious, 19 for Kem. That's perfect. They're literally splitting it right at the 48 number there. But I think that I would look to even that out just a little bit more. I think Kem, right now, without the conditioning, is a little bit more... or a little less reliable as a pick and roll defender, but I think offensively he gives you some options there that Precious doesn't necessarily give you. And I would like to see Kem run a little bit more with the starters too, because again, those guys are going to drive to the rim and they're going to need a guy to dump it off to. And they have fed Precious quite a bit, whether that's Fred trying to throw him lobs or whatever. But Precious has not necessarily finished all those. And you know, again, those are more points on the table where they're leaving points behind when they should be scoring at the rim. So there's a couple of things to take away from this, but I think ultimately the Raptors need some help off the bench. That's the thing that really hurts. Chris with 3, Goran with 8, Svi with 5, you know, like those are your main bench players right now. And honestly, if these guys continue to struggle, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple more options come off the bench. I thought Champagne gave them some nice energy in terms of finishing in the basket and stuff like that. He's undersized, but he showed a decent nose for it. His positioning is quite good. To be honest, I don't know if they want to put Decker out there, just because I think defensively already with Goran and Svi, they're already struggling so much defensively. You put Decker out there as well, it's just not going to fly. Honestly, if Nick played Malachi ahead of Goran for a game and Goran took the night off, I would not mind seeing at least what that looks like. You've already seen Nick try Isaac Bonga. You know, he's not going to help with the offense, but might help you with defense. To be honest, he just needs some of these guys to step up and play better. I think Chris is a key guy for this team that has not performed, period, and you're seeing the Raptors struggle because of that. I think Goran is another guy who should be in the rotation because of his ability and even because of his track record, but he has also not delivered at all. So you need some of those guys to step up for you, and the Raptors didn't have that. So in terms of your 3 stars from this game, the first star for me goes to Fred VanVleet, 15 points, 17 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. The 8 turnovers are regrettable for sure, but played 43 minutes, shot 6 of 13 from the field, had such a number of tough baskets in the fourth quarter there. I don't think he can do this sustainably. Well, first off, he's not going to average 17 assists. That's outrageous. But he's not going to play 43 minutes a game. He's going to burn out. Even though one of my preseason predictions was that Fred will lead the NBA in minutes. And actually, I'm very curious to see this because I want to check it out, because he might already be leading the NBA minutes. But the simple fact is he can't play this much this hard and not, you know, be worse for it. And the thing is, I'm so afraid of what happens to this team if Fred ever picked up an injury, because they're already so comically thin in the guard positions. No offense to some of the guys here, but to be honest, Raptors might have the worst guard rotation in the NBA. I might have to double check that. I think OKC has a real case there as well. But yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. And I think that, you know, 43 for Fred is something that he can only do occasionally, not do all the time. But it's looking like he might have to. Like, Fred right now is at 153 minutes played. That ties him with with Jason Tatum, 153 as well, Chris Duarte as well. And then that is a tie for third most in the NBA behind Malcolm Brogdon at 163 and Domantas Sabonis at 162. So, and those teams have played overtime. Like, that's part of the reason why Duarte and Brogdon and Sabonis are up there so high, is because they played multiple overtimes now. Yeah, I mean, Fred is essentially leading the league in minutes. And it's not particularly surprising given the fact that the Raptors are short on bodies there. And again, you know, I think, man, it would be really nice to see Malachi get a couple of minutes here. It'd be really nice to see Goran like step up to the plate and actually be able to hold down the fort so Fred doesn't have to come in so much. But right now it is what it is, and Fred is stepping his game up at least. I really like this performance tonight. Second star for me goes to OG Anunoby, 22 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Played a really good complementary role in the sense that he was able to create for himself. He was able to initiate. He was able to create for others as well. I would also like to see him attack more from the perimeter and use his one-on-one game. And, you know, that step back jumper he worked on so hard in the offseason, you know, it's just so far right now, it's just has to wait. But I care about the effectiveness. I know the Raptors care about the effectiveness. And right now, OG's effective in the post. I liked how much they emphasized him there. I want to see more of that, especially against teams that have smaller guards. Like Chicago, they play a lot of guards at once. Someone's going to have a guard guarding OG, and I want OG to take that guard into the post and attack that matchup until they either send help or, I don't know, until OG has like 30, basically. So in terms of your third star, there's a couple of options here. Thought Gary had a nice start to the game. Thought Scotty had some nice moments as well. He gives you one like highlight dunk a game, which is really cool. But I think I'm going to give it to Kem. I thought Kem was real solid. 11 points, 2 rebounds, and assist off the bench. Again, I just can't state enough how much it's important for a big to be able to just be in position and ready for the catch and play off that catch. And everyone understands what Kem Birch is, which is a supporting player. But I thought he played his role quite well. And to be honest, if I were Nick, I would actually look to play him a little bit more, especially as his conditioning returns, because Kem's very solid. And I'm rarely disappointed by Kem. In terms of the Gerald Henderson Award winner, that can go to a number of places. To be honest, the Bulls have some pretty good players, so it's a little bit hard picking any of their main guys. Troy Brown Jr. had 11 points off the bench. To be honest, I didn't really see that big of an impact from him. So I'm going to give it to Lonzo Ball, not necessarily because I don't think 15 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, a block is that great of a game for him. I just thought that he was in all the right spots, played such a nice measured point guard style of game, played pretty good defense as well. Lonzo was pretty solid. I think there is a reason why the Chicago Bulls committed tampering to go get him this offseason. He has fit this team really well. He sets the tempo of the team really well. His shooting is now a lot better than, obviously, it's night and day between when he first got drafted and where it is now. He's a nice player. The Bulls are interesting, man. They're 4-0. I still don't feel that convinced about them, but they do have something going on with the amount of offensive weapons they have. And if they can play less one-on-one and they can play more team basketball, and then if they can sort of run sort of more clutch possessions through Zach, through DeMar DeRozan, of course they're going to win a lot of games. Like, I think there's enough offense there to sustain themselves, which is it's funny. Sometimes I watch the Bulls and they just like guys pull up and they score and they have guards that attack and they finish at the rim and they shoot deep threes. And I'm like, damn, I didn't know offense was so easy. When you watch the Raptors, you would think that it's pulling teeth. But, you know, some teams just got it like that, apparently. And I can't believe I'm saying that about the Chicago Bulls of all teams. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Once again, you could subscribe to the Raptors show wherever you find podcasts. Really appreciate and have been really it's been really heartwarming reading a lot of the replies and some of the reviews. I think first off, it's great because it allows the podcast to be found by other people and it stays high in the charts. And, you know, that obviously it helps us, but also it's just like on a personal level, it feels great. Like, I think that the amount of love that the Raptor fans have shown towards this program and towards other things that I've done is truly heartwarming, you know? So I appreciate that. You can find the podcast, The Raptors Show, wherever you listen to it. And definitely continue to rate, review, subscribe, share the podcast. And as for The Raptors Show itself, airs Monday to Friday, as you know, between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet Found 90 The Fan. Tomorrow's episode, Tuesday, usually we're going to keep that open for Blake. Obviously, people love the two-man game me and Blake run, apparently, where we get super nerdy into details on the team. So we'll definitely get into that tomorrow so you can check out the show. And, thanks for listening. And I'll catch you up to the next one.